story for today opens with the people of God, the Israelites, in exile. We've been dealing with the exile all throughout Advent this year. On Advent 1, you'll remember that we read the words of Jeremiah in the midst of the siege on Jerusalem, when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon was coming. He was coming to completely destroy Jerusalem, to level the temple, to tear down the palace, and to take the people into exile in Babylon. And that's exactly what happens. The people of Judah, the southern part of the kingdom of Israel, where Jerusalem is, are marched away from their homes. So they were in exile, not allowed to go back. And then last week, on the second week of Advent, we heard the words of Isaiah. After Jerusalem has fallen and the people are in exile, Isaiah says, "Comfort my people," talking about the grieving people of Israel in exile. Because Isaiah could see what was about to happen. He could see that the end of the exile was coming. There was a man named Cyrus the Great, who was amassing power in what is now Turkey and Iran. He had taken over much of what they knew of the world at that time, and he had become known as the King of Persia. And Isaiah could see this, and he knew that Cyrus was going to come and take over all of Babylonia as well. And Cyrus had a reputation not just for conquering, but for setting captives free. So when Isaiah can see this happening, he says, "Comfort to my people, because hope is coming." Well, this week, our reading started with Cyrus. This is 50 years after the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem, and Cyrus has taken over all of the world. And he saw himself as on a mission from God. And here, our Hebrew scripture doesn't disagree with him. But Cyrus saw himself on more than just a mission from the God of Israel, but a mission from every God. He freed everyone who'd been captured by the Babylonians and allowed everyone to go home to wherever they were from. And he sent them specifically to rebuild the temples to their gods. Can you imagine living your whole life in exile and then hearing a proclamation from the new king that says, you can go home? And not only go home, but go home and rebuild. And not only go home and rebuild, but go home and rebuild. And here, take some gold, take some silver. Here's everything you will need to make a new start of it. So, of course, King Cyrus is welcomed with open arms by the Judeans in exile. They see him as a savior. Isaiah, in fact, calls Cyrus the Messiah, the Anointed One. And Cyrus is just fine with that title. He's like, that's right, yeah. Your God sent me, so you can just thank me, and now I'm the king of your kingdoms as well. You could kind of say the whole world is my kingdom. And he lets them go back to Jerusalem. And there's a group of Israelites from Judah that do decide to go back. They're led by a young man named Zerubbabel, and they have people of all ages with them. And I imagine that journey back to their homeland, a homeland that most of them had never seen, that they'd only heard about in stories. I imagine that as they're on their way back, moving in a caravan, long days of walking, nothing to do but talk, and nights gathering around the fires, I imagine they asked the elders to tell them the stories. And the young people, I imagine, just eagerly soaking it up. The story of creation, the world being created by a God who invites the people also into the creation, into recreation, into rebuilding. The story of Abraham and Sarah hearing the call of God and going on a journey to build a new family. The stories of Isaac and his sons Jacob and Esau and the sons of Jacob and the origin of all the tribes. The story of Joseph and how he found himself as a prisoner, but then rose to prominence even in a foreign land. And then, of course, the story of their journey out of slavery in Egypt and into the promised land. We know that this is the period in history where these stories were gathered, where they were put together and written down. The story of King David and the building of the monarchy and the kingdom of Israel, the building of the first temple by Solomon, and of course, the stories of the fall and destruction. It's this period of time, this time when they're going back to rebuild, when they're wondering, who are we? Tell us the stories again. We're right on the cusp of starting something new. So tell us who we are and tell us who we're going to be. So this whole journey is filled with the stories. And they make it to Jerusalem. And the first thing they want to do, the thing they're commissioned to do, that they've been sent by Cyrus to do, is rebuild the temple. So they lay a foundation. They make a beginning, the scripture says, right there on the site of the old temple. And when the foundation is complete, I imagine the pride that they must feel. We've done this thing. And so they want to have a celebration. And they want to make sure they do it the old way, in keeping with the stories that have been handed down to them. So they make this new beginning. They build an altar for worship. And they appoint priests. And they don't have any of the old priests, right? It's been 50 years since the temple was destroyed. So it's all of these young guys. It says that 20 years and up are who they appointed as priests. So 20-year-olds. The temple's been destroyed for 50 years. They've been living in exile. These are people who were born as captives, who are taking up this mantle of being the priests and having oversight over all the work of the house of the Lord. But they have the instructions that have been handed down to them, the instructions even from King David of how to set everything up. So they have their vestments. They've done it just exactly as they've heard. They have trumpets. They have cymbals. And I imagine they practice all of this, how they should come in, how it will go, who will speak first, how the cymbal should be played, the trumpet just right, and they pick just the right song from all the songs that their parents and grandparents have sung to them. They decide they'll sing, "For he is good, his steadfast love endures forever," toward Israel. They think that strikes just the right note to remind us that this God is always our God and that the temple will be rebuilt. And they're so proud. They're living in this moment in history. They've heard the stories, and now finally, the dreams of their ancestors are coming true. Their hopes are finally realized. They get to be part of the happy ending. The happy ending to every story that's ever been told to them. And so they're there in that moment, and they play the trumpets. They're right on cue, and they clang the cymbals, or whatever you do with cymbals, and it's just perfect. And they start the song, and sure enough, the whole congregation of cymbals sings the song right back, just like they had hoped. And they're full of joy. They're full of so much joy, in fact, that they don't just sit there with smiles on their faces, but they shout with joy, just so excited. It's a big celebration. And I imagine Zerubbabel up there, and Jeshua, the newly appointed young man that's head priest, beaming with pride and looking out on the congregation. And what do they see? But the elders are weeping. The elders are crying. And it's not just silent tears rolling down their cheeks. This is definitely not tears of joy. This is wailing. This is wailing so loud that you can't distinguish the shouts and cries of joy from the wailing. And I imagine Zerubbabel and Jeshua, their hearts just falling into their stomachs. They've worked so hard to make it just so. They followed all of King David's instructions, just like the elders told them. I imagine that they were devastated. They tried their best. They did all the things. But what they didn't realize, what they couldn't understand, is what that moment was like for those who remembered. For those that remembered what the former temple had been, these people had been children the last time they were in Jerusalem. The last time they were there might have been the last time they celebrated with their parents in the temple. The last time they were there at that very foundation might have been in the middle of the siege of Jerusalem, and maybe they never saw members of their family again. Maybe the last time they were there, they were being dragged off into captivity to Babylon. What those people leading the celebration couldn't realize is that every new beginning is also an ending of sorts. It's saying that is the end of this time that has been in your life. One of the stories we tell the children in Bridges is the secret of time. Do you all know the secret of time? We think sometimes that time is in one line with a very clear beginning and then, oh, look, a clear ending here. But what the church learned long ago, what the people of God learned long ago, is that actually every beginning is also an ending. And every ending is actually also a beginning. And so we tie time together in a circle. And we celebrate it that way too, don't we? We come through Advent to Christmas, but then we come back around again every year, circling past the same stories, the same histories, the same celebrations, the same moments. Because every ending is also a new beginning, but every new beginning is also an ending. This Sunday in the liturgical calendar, we've come around to Joy Sunday, Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete just means rejoice in the Latin, joy. And a long time ago, the church put that Sunday right in the midst of the Advent time of waiting, a time when we're expecting, when we're full of hope and hoping and waiting, that moment of joy. To say we can celebrate in the midst of waiting, in the midst of difficulty. But joy is not always a simple emotion. It's rarely a simple emotion. The pain is woven together with joy for what has been and hope for what's to come. And for most of us in this life, we exist never fully in one state or the other. It's never just joyful shouts or wails of and weeping. It's somehow mingled together. We think, oh, the holiday spirit, and everything is aglow, and there's lights everywhere, and everyone's full of the Christmas cheer. But we forget that the whole reason we light the lights in the first place, the whole reason we drag trees into our homes and set them with lights is because of the darkness. The whole reason we do it is because of the fear and the pain that we see. The whole reason we do it is because it is cold and dreary. And we need the hope. We need the peace. We need the joy. We need the love. We need to draw our strength from that. The thing about those that were assembled for the laying of the foundations of the second temple was that there were some who were mourning, but the others couldn't mourn with those who mourned. And there were some rejoicing, but the others couldn't rejoice with those who were rejoicing. Instead, all the sound just becomes intermingled into one great acclamation that even those in the countrysides could hear. And in fact, those in the countryside come when they hear all of the shouts and tumult, and they say, "How can we help? Can we be there with you?" And in that spirit, we will be celebrating, we will be observing, we will be making space for the longest night this Saturday on the 21st. We will make sacred space in this room so that we can mourn with those who mourn. And maybe that's a time that you need, because maybe the last time you came around to celebrating Christmas, it was with somebody you love that's no longer here. Maybe your circumstances in life were different. Maybe you're feeling loss or pain or loneliness, and you need that space so that you can mourn. Or maybe you are one who is full of the holiday spirit and all you want to do is shout with shouts of joy. Maybe you could come and mourn with those who mourn and make that space so that we could mourn together in the hopes that we can draw strength and what we need from the light, from each other, so that we could gather again on Christmas Eve in joy, so that we can rejoice with those who rejoice, so that our gaudete, our joy, and our grief might be together. May it be so, in the name of God, the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. Amen.